Information, please. Wake up, America. Time to stump the experts. Trot out your toughest questions and send them to us with the right answers. Four experts every Tuesday night will answer them correctly or pay you $5 for every question that stumps them. And each question accepted gets you $2. Our master of ceremonies is Clifton Fadiman, literary critic of the New Yorker magazine. Mr. Fadiman.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. Mr. Franklin C. Adams, humorist of the New York Post, and Mr. John Curran, sports expert of the New York Times, are here again this evening. You can't keep them away. They just love this program. Don't you, Mr. Curran and Mr. Adams? Our guests of honor have both been with us before. Mr. Oscar Levant, pianist, composer, and baseball expert, he says. And Mr. Ben Hicks. Mr. Hecht says he knows more about insects and likes them better than plays and motion pictures. His great reputation, however, is founded on plays and pictures, whether Mr. Hecht likes it or not, and whether the slugs like it or not. Now, rules and regulations, gentlemen, rules and regulations. I'll put the question to the entire board. And if you know the answer, raise your hand. Be answered by one man. If it's composed of more parts than two, the board may cooperate. But if any part is answered wrongly, we lose $5. When you hear that cash register ring, that means the questioner is actually getting his $5, and a good thing, too. I'd like to repeat finally, everybody, that this is a spontaneous and unrehearsed program. The experts don't know the question, and maybe they won't know the answers. Are you all ready, gentlemen? Here we go. The first question is from Mrs. A.B. Churchill of 27 Washington Avenue, Nyack, New York, which I believe is Mr. Hess. Place of residence. Question. The first lines of the following sets of couplets will be read, and you will have to complete them. Now, you don't have to complete them in rotation. You can just volunteer. Anyone who knows the second line will volunteer to answer. And if you don't know the classic second line and can make up a good one, which I will accept, we don't lose $5. Are you ready? One. 10 little Indians standing in a line. 10 little Indians standing in a line. Miss Kieran.
One walked away and then there were nine.
Very good. 9 little Indians swinging on a gate. Miss Kieran again.
One fell off and then there were eight.
He certainly knows his Indians. 8 little Indians climbing up toward heaven. Miss Kieran.
One fell down and then there were seven.
7 little Indians picking up sticks.
One broke his neck and then there were six.
That was Mr. Curran, I needn't tell you. 6 little Indians playing with a hive. Mr. Curran?
One was stung and then there were five.
And now you other gentlemen can leave the room and come back in about 3 or 4 minutes, if you wish. 5 little Indians on a trap door.
One fell through and then there were four.
Thank you, Mr. Curran. 4 little Indians up in a tree.
One jumped out and then there were three.
3 little Indians out in a canoe.
One was drowned and then there were two.
2 little Indians playing with a gun.
One pulled a trigger and then there was one.
1 little Indian living all alone. 1 little Indian living all alone.
He died and now they're unknown.
Good enough. Poor little expert with bad memories almost lost $5 for information, please. I made that up in advance. I don't mind telling them. Second question from Mr. H. Skelding Timmons, 619 Washington Street, Boston, Massachusetts. This question has to do with the famous superstitions of equally famous baseball players. And there are 5 superstitions corresponding to 5 baseball players. You don't know the answer, Mr. Levant? Or we'll excuse you. And you have to get 4 out of 5. 1. What old-time Major League Baseball player took his chewing gum off his cap and put it back in his mouth when he had 2 strikes called on him? Mr. Chair.
Eddie Collins.
That's
now with the Boston Red Sox.
Very good.
Spencer Tracy did it in test pilot.
Yes, so that's another question. Thank you, Mr. Levant. You get a lot of extra information out of Mr. Levant. He just doesn't know the answer to the right question. 2. What baseball player carries such souvenirs as pebbles, old coins, and rabbit feet in the pocket of his playing uniform? I'd like to see that pocket.
Well,
Mr.
I think there are, perhaps a dozen or more who carry souvenirs in their pocket.
Let's have 8 or 10.
Well, I can give you one, anyhow.
Right,
he was right in
one.
Town. He pitched yesterday, I think. Lefty Gomez of the Yankees.
That's correct. At least that's what I have down here on the white card. 3. What baseball player takes 3 steps from the foul line, drops his glove, and steps on it on his way to the dugout? Volunteers?
Harper Moss.
You know, that might be right, Mr. Levant, but is he a baseball player?
Softball.
Oh, softball. Does he use a bat?
Wig.
Just a ball and wig player. How about that, Mr. Chiron?
No, I don't know. I never followed a ball player's footsteps that closely.
The answer is Grove.
Maybe so.
You won't accept the answer, Mr. Chiron.
Yeah, I'll believe it.
All right, that's one wrong. Now, we've got to get the next 2 quite correct in order to win this $5, or at least not lose this $5. What baseball coach refused to change his shirt for 6 days? It's a pretty dirty story. What baseball coach refused to change his shirt for 6 days for fear that he would break his team's winning streak?
Oh,
know that one?
Yes, that was printed about a month ago. That was Hank Gowdy of the Cincinnati Reds.
That's correct, Mr. Chair. 5. What baseball manager hired a truck of empty barrels to cross the path of his team on their way to the field? I don't believe it.
That's an old chestnut. That's true, but I mean everybody knows. That's John McGraw.
What do you mean, everybody?
Among others.
I didn't know it.
Well, John McGraw did. He wrote it. It's in his book.
Oh, you read the book, too?
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a book review. All right, that's 4 out of 5. All answered by Mr. Kieran, with a little assistance from Mr. Levant on the movie end. 3rd question, from Mrs. Kent Powers, 2408 Russell Avenue, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Now, we're asked to name the classical compositions whose themes or melodies are suggested by the following popular songs. And I'm not going to read the titles of them. I'm going to have the pianist play a few measures. And you'll have to give us the classical compositions whose themes or melodies are suggested by those measures. Ready? First. Mr. Levant.
It's a Chopin's Minute Waltz. It's in
yes.
the wrong key.
It's in the wrong key. Well, if that doesn't prove that this is an unrehearsed program, I don't know what does. What popular song is it that was based on the Minute Waltz?
It was in a show in which Alice Lugan, Irene, is that the name of the show?
I don't know.
I
didn't on my car.
That's really before my time. Tierney McCarthy wrote it, I know that.
Well, is it My Castle of Dreams?
Is I that the name?
Wouldn't know that. Well, all you have to know is Chopin's Minute Waltz. That's yeah. correct. Second selection. Mr. Levant, he knows it.
That's a Chopin Impromptu.
Fantasy Impromptu.
Impromptu.
Yes, and what's the popular song? Do you happen to know?
Chasing Rainbows.
I'm Always Chasing Rainbows.
Harry
That's
Carroll
correct.
Wrote it.
Third selection. Mr. Levant again.
Dvorak, New World, second
yeah.
movement.
And what's the popular song?
Going Home.
That's right. Nice accent you've got there, Mr. Levant. Have to use that sometime. Fourth selection. Volunteers. Mr. Adams.
Sullivan.
I beg your pardon?
Sullivan, the Pirates of Penzance.
The Pirates of Penzance. And what's the song?
Hail, men who plow the sea.
And the song which was stolen from us?
Hail, hail, the gang's all here.
That's quite correct. And fourth, fifth, and lastly. Mr. Levant?
Tosca, Puccini.
That's correct. And what is the song?
Avalon.
5 out of 5. I think that's pretty good. Yeah. To judge from this information that you've given us, Mr. Levant, it must be a great advantage for a popular songwriter like you to know a lot of classical music.
I don't use it.
You don't use classical music at all?
Nor the popular, either.
Just right by ear.
Oh, yeah.
Next question from Mrs. C.S. Burgess of Grafton, Massachusetts. We all know what Shakespeare's Puck thought of us. Lord, what fools these mortals be. You've all heard that quotation, gentlemen?
Yes, we all have.
I'm now going to ask you to give three other famous quotations that mention a fool, or fools, or folly. Now, any of you gentlemen an expert on fools or folly? Mr. Adams.
I met a fool in the forest.
That's correct. What's it from?
I think As You Like It.
That's right.
Thank you, Mr. Carey. The boys are working together tonight. That's why. Mr. Hank.
A fool there was when he made his prayer.
Yes, what's that from?
From Kipling.
Yes, that's right. I don't know the name of the poem either, do you?
The Vampire. The Vampire.
Thank you, Mr. Adams. Very cooperative board. Third. You have to name one more about fools and folly, and then we can quit this foolery. Mr. Levant.
I thought he was going to beat me. I don't know whether I'm right.
You want to take a chance?
Listen, what is that about credit in?
Right in.
No, you can't get together, boys. Let me have a complete answer. I'll take Mr. Kierman.
Ben Heck lifted mine right out of my mouth.
Put that back in his mouth, Mr. Heck.
Put it on.
Got it back? Open your mouth, Mr. Kierman. That's right. There she goes. Let's have it.
A fool and his money are soon parted.
That's correct. You know who wrote that?
Not offhand.
Oh,
Benjamin Franklin.
I beg pardon, Mr.
Benjamin Franklin.
No, Mr. Anon. A-N-O-N. Mr. Anon. Doing pretty well so far. The fifth question is a combined question. We've combined questions from two people. One from Mr. Fay Kabatnik. Mr. Fay Kabatnik of 422 South Lapeer Drive, Beverly Hills, California. And others from Samuel Claiborne Knuckles, Jr., 128 High Street, Versailles, Kentucky. Very long names and addresses, those, huh? Question. The following well-known lines are from plays that were later screened. You have to name four out of five. First line. Think fast, Captain. Mr. Hayes.
What's price glory?
Good. Two. Isn't the moon beautiful? Pardon me for pointing. Isn't the moon beautiful? Pardon me for pointing. Gosh, I know that one. Volunteers.
How about a guess?
All right, Mr. Chairman, let's have a guess.
June moon?
That's terrible.
I didn't guess better than that, but I think it was having a wonderful time.
Yes, leave out the A and you'd be right. Having a wonderful time. But I'll have to count that wrong because Mr. Chairman gave us the wrong answer first and Mr. Hayes gave us the right answer second. I have loved as a woman loves, lost as a woman loses. I have loved as a woman loves, lost as a woman loses. Very pretty sentiment. Volunteers.
Who was in the picture?
Shakespeare.
No. Nice guess, Mr. Adams. Shakespeare didn't write everything. No, it's from Mary Scotland by Maxwell Anderson. That's too wrong. Four, a woman should be struck regularly like a gong. Mr. Levant.
Private Life, no college.
That's correct. And fifth, men are all pigs. Just pigs, pigs, pigs. Sounds like a pretty hammy line to me. No, the answer to that one.
There's a play called Pigs.
Never mind. There's a story called Pigs is Pigs. And there's a movie called The Three Little Pigs. That's not enough for tonight. Men are all pigs, just pigs, pigs, pigs. The answer is...
Might be from the women, but I didn't see it.
Thank you, Mr. Adams, but it is not. No, it's from a very famous play, Rain. Considering how near to the theater you gentlemen are, I don't think you did so well on that one. You got three wrong out of five, and that's going to cost us $5. Thank you very much. The next one is from Mrs. Warren D. Wright, 30 Park Drive, Williamsville, New York. Now, this is tough. This is such a tough question, I can hardly read it. What relation are the following people to you? And you have to get three out of five. What relation are the following people to you? One, your aunt's mother. Father's wife. You want some pencil and paper? Or would you like me to bring in a couple of aunts and mothers so we can make this thing clear? Your aunt, mother's, father's wife. Mr. Hay.
Great, great aunt.
You know, that may be right, but it says on my card, great grandmother. Great grandmother. That would be correct, Mr. Levant. Two, your brother's, son's, sister's, mother. So you make this two out of three. This is really a tough one. You make this two out of three. Your brother, son, sister's mother, Mr. Kieran.
Sister-in-law.
That's correct. Three, your sister-in-law's father-in-law's son. I don't know who I am anymore.
Your sister-in-law's father-in-law's son. Mr. Hay.
That would be me.
That's right, Mr. Hay. Okay. Johnson, I'm glad I'm through with that one. The next one's for Mr. and Mrs. John G. Cunit, 769 St. Mark's Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. What books were the following newspaper headlines, imagined newspaper headlines, suggest? One, ex-auto magnate on tour deserts flirtatious wife. Miss Adams.
Dodsworth.
That's correct. By whom?
Sinclair Lewis.
Very good indeed. Two, mischievous Middle Western boy resents maiden aunt's attempt at civilizing. Mr. Hay.
Tom Sawyer.
No, I'm awfully sorry. You're next door to it. Mr. Terrence.
Huckleberry.
I have to call that wrong. No, Huckleberry Finn's correct. Three, as planter, slave trader, wine merchant, a convent-raised foundling is pursued by bad luck. Mr.
Never mind. Anthony Edwards.
Good for you. And four, runaway children fly back to grieving parents after escapades in children's paradise. Mr. Levant.
Prodigal parents?
No, 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 no. I have to count that wrong. Nice guess, though, Mr. Hay.
Floyd Dell.
He's not a play. Floyd Dell is more of a writer than a play.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
No, I don't remember any play named Floyd Dell. It's had a very short run.
I thought it was Runaway Marriage, I thought.
Well, what book would that suggest?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's Tony Mitchell.
Yeah.
Now, you boys, just stay apart now. Answer these questions. Runaway children fly back to grieving parents after escapades in children's paradise. Oh, you all ought to know that. Sorry, it's Peter Pan. And that's going to cost us $5 in information, please, expert, slot, a thousand booze. Next question from Mrs. Clarence Ostrom, 1820 Fifth Avenue, Oakland, California. What popular or formerly popular dancers are brought to mind by the following words or phrases? What popular or formerly popular dancers are brought to mind by the following words or phrases? Have to get all of them. There are five. One, a rabbit. What popular dance would be suggested?
Bunny hop.
That's right, Mr. Levant. To a European. A European. Mr. Levant?
I'll have to spell it. M-A-X-I-X-E. Is that right?
Well, that, I suppose, had its origin on the continent, but I wouldn't say that a European would necessarily suggest mashish or maxixi or whatever you call it.
Can-can, then.
No, I wouldn't take that either.
Well, that was
it. No, I wouldn't say can-can. It's nice of you to give it to me, but I won't take it. A European. This is a tough one. Yes, Mr. Hay?
International rag.
No, that's not a dance.
No, that's not a dance. That's a song, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mr. Levant. No, we have to call that wrong. The answer is continental.
Right.
Is that a dance?
No, it was the name of a song. It wasn't really a dance.
We'll argue that out later on. The studio audience seems to think continental was a dance. But I think we'll have to count that wrong. Three, pastry. Pastry. Remember, any kind of dance will do. McKeon? Yeah, very good, McKeon. Four, jello. And Mr. Kieran?
Shimmy.
Shimmy, yeah. And last, a baby sitting in the mud. A baby sitting in the mud, Mr. Hay.
Black bottom.
That a girl. Well, we were supposed to get all of those, and we flopped on a European that's going to cost us $5. And so far, we've lost the sum of $10, as I have it here. Next question. From Mr. Milton Schleyer, 969 Montgomery Street, Brooklyn, New York. You'll have to whistle or play. You may play if you can play. The main theme of the following. And I'm going to name the things to play or whistle. Now, the pianist will have to check me here. I know absolutely nothing about music. First, Morning from the Peer Gynt Suite. Mr. Levant at the piano. No doubt correct. Thank you, Mr. Levant. That's very pretty. Two, Beethoven's Seventh Symphony, the second movement. You want to stay at the piano, Mr. Levant? I guess that's right. Now, if there are any other volunteers, we can throw Mr. Levant away from the piano and get someone else there. I don't know whether any of you gentlemen can play. Three, Ride of the Valkyrie from the Valkyra.
know it. You know it.
Playing entirely without notes, ladies and gentlemen, entirely without notes. Fourth, Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, the second movement, I believe. Is that right? That's right. Mr. Adams says it's right. Must be right. And fifth, the second movement. Mr. Levan, this is a quiz program, not a musical program. Fifth, the second movement of Brahms' Fourth. I wonder whether I'll let that go. Second movement of Brahms' Fourth. We may have him there. I want to whistle that. Were you whistling then, Mr. Adams?
Trying to. I'm doing well.
Sounds so much.
No, apparently that was wrong.
I know it, but I'm confused with the second movement of the Second Symphony. They're really almost alike, except...
Well, you've got me completely confused now. I now ask volunteers to whistle, hum, sing, play, or beat the rhythm of the second movement of Brahms' Fourth. Volunteers.
I'll play the second of the second. It's almost the same.
You can't bargain with me, Mr. Levan. Oh, no. We've got to get it right or not at all.
It's in 6/8, too, and it's very dark.
6/8 and very dark.
And it brews.
Not good enough. It brews.
Brews.
How long does it brew?
It's rock.
Can't take it. Nice description, but I can't take it.
6/8 time.
You stick to that. Nope.
How about the third movement? I can do the third movement.
You can do the third movement. You come again next week. Nope. Cost us $5. Supposed to get all of them. Still, I think that was pretty good. Now, if at any moment during the rest of the program you gentlemen get an inspiration and want to hum or whistle the second movement of Brahms' Fourth, you won't be allowed to do it. Next question from Miss Helene Nitzer, 318 South Madison Avenue, Maquoketa, Iowa. Question. The following are the last real names of famous people. For what is each known to the public? And there are five names. I'll read them all and then read them one by one. One, Nagurski, Pilsudski, Sikorsky, Stokowski, Korzenyovsky. Now, let's start with Nagurski. It's the last real name of the famous person. Mr. Hay.
Japanese biologist. I'm wrong.
That's...
Noguchi.
You know, you couldn't be wronger if you'd rehearsed that one. No, that's quite wrong. You're thinking of Yone Noguchi.
I was.
Mr. Levan is very anxious to answer.
Bronco is his first name. He was a fullback, professional football player. He's a wrestler, too.
Right. That's correct. Sorry about that, Mr. Hesh. I know you meant well on Noguchi. Two, Pilsudski. Volunteers. Mr. Hesh, want to redeem yourself?
I don't think I can. I know he's premier of Poland, or was.
Well, he was. President of Poland. That would be correct. Three, Sikorsky. Mr. Kieran.
Airplane designer.
Quite right. Four, Stokowski. Mr. Adams.
Sort of an Oscar Levan.
Sort of an Oscar Levan.
Composer and conductor.
I see. You boys are great friends, you and Mr. Levan.
Yes and no.
Five, Korzenyovsky.
Is that a K or a C?
That is a K. Korzenioski. A Notre Dame cheer. Korzenioski. I beg pardon, Mr. Kieran.
First name, Theodore?
No, but we haven't time to go through all the first names, you know. No, his first name was not Theodore. I'll give you that much of a hint. Korzenioski.
Well, he's a Russian, but that...
No.
That's Polish.
Yes. I beg pardon?
That would be Polish.
Yes, he was Polish, Mr. Levant.
He was Polish?
Well, yes, he was. He's dead now.
Dead?
Dead, yes, dead. Sorry, Korzenyovsky is the real name of Joseph Conrad, the famous novelist who wrote Lord Jim and Rover and so forth. That's going to cost us $5. And that $5 goes to Miss Helene Nitcher at Maquoketa, Iowa, as soon as we can get it to her. Next question from Mr. Marshall Seddon, 27 Sunnyside Street, Lockport, New York. This is about movies. Name a movie in which each of the following objects played an important part. First object is a cow. Would you call a cow an object, Mr. Levan?
In Old Chicago.
Very good. Two, pajamas, pants. Or pajama pants. pajama pants. Mr. Levant?
Bluebeard's eighth wife.
Good work. Three, a Murphy bed. A Murphy bed.
Sounds like my biography.
A Murphy bed. Mr. Levant? Mr. Levant?
Ginger Rogers. Jimmy Stewart. Music hall.
Yeah, you've almost got it. Sit on it now.
You do it, Ben.
Come on, boys.
As far as you do.
Something.
Well, he's got the stars, but he hasn't got the movie. You just can't remember those things offhand. Want me to come back to it in a second or two?
No.
Lady,
that's right.
Capricious lady?
No, not capricious.
Vivacious.
Vivacious lady. Wow. It's hard getting that one. Wow. Yep, it's a vivacious lady. I don't know whether I ought to score you on that or not.
Well, I told the whole picture.
Thank you, Mr. Levant. For a black mask. A black mask. A black mask. Mr. Levant.
I think I'm wrong. Prisoner of Zender?
No. Hi-ho, Mr. Levant. The Lone Ranger. Don't you remember the Lone Ranger?
I don't remember.
All right. Sorry. Last, an ice bag. An ice bag. Mr. Heck.
John, the Manju picture about John Barrymore. Oh, sing... Baby Sing.
I haven't got that down on my card. Is there an ice bag in it?
Yes, all the way through. He wears it on his head. He drinks rum out of it.
Is it really important, the ice bag? I'll accept that. We lost $5 anyway.
Nothing sacred.
Mr. Levant, what did you say?
Bird's trip to the pole.
Thanks, Mr. Adams. No, I want to get another one in which the ice bag was used. I think you had it, Mr.
That was a nice bird.
Nothing sacred.
Yeah, Mr. Heck wrote the picture.
And who wrote the musical score?
I did.
Oh, that's very good. Thank you very much. But that, too, is going to cost us $5. And we're down $25.
Mr. Kieran and I didn't even see it.
All right. Let's see if we can get a little of this done now. From Miss Jean Moore of Chicago. We have an expert on birds here, Mr. Kieran. An expert on bugs. That's Mr. Heck. I'm glad to get you boys together. I'm going to ask you to give another name for each of the following. One, Bob White. Another name for Bob White. Miss Kieran.
Colinus virginianus.
I don't know. I never heard of it.
Quail.
Quail. All right. Two, scarab.
What?
Scarab. Scarab, Mr.
Beetle.
Beetle. Three, chimney swallow.
Swift.
Swift is correct. Four, darning needle.
What's the other one? I'll give you a darning needle in a moment.
All right. Snowbird.
Snowbird is snow bunting or
correct.
A junco.
Yes, thanks. Six, grandfather long legs. That's pretty elegant.
Just a minute. The one you asked before is dragonfly.
For darning needle, that's correct, right. Mr. Kieran.
And a daddy long legs?
Walking stick.
No, it's a field spider.
Why, the entomologist for quarreling.
Huh?
No, it's neither a field spider nor a walking stick, but a crane fly. And we're supposed to get all
well,
of them.
Well, a daddy long legs, that's... It's also a species of spider, of the arachnidol.
All right, I'll let that one go. Thanks very much indeed. Well, that ends the quizzing for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We've lost the sum altogether, as I said before, of $25. The lineup for next week. Mr. Kieran, Mr. Adams, Mr. Bernard Jaffe, who's the author of Crucibles and other books of science. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is the big surprise we're going to have with us. Next week, one who needs no introduction, Maestro Ben Burney. Walter Winchell has been asked to come and heckle. And now Mr. Case wants to remind you of the rules governing the contest. Good night, thanks, and come again.
Thank you, Mr. Fadiman. Remember, send in your questions. $2 per question accepted, $5 more if the board flops on it. All questions become the property of Information Please. Send them to Information Please, NBC, Radio City, New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.